choir did not know I was going to take up this subject tonight, but in the gospel, you can't get far from the cross. We're going to be looking at one of the sayings that the Lord Jesus spoke from the cross. You might remember there were 7 in number. Not 6, too few, not 8, too many. The perfect number. 7. Just the right amount of sayings or cries from the cross. Let me remind you that the Lord Jesus has completely, once and for all, completed the work. And that's what we want to talk about this evening. When you go to look up the 7 sayings from the cross, you won't find them in order. And you won't find them in any one gospel. You'll have to read the 4 gospels to get them. You'll have to read Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. And some put them in and some leave them out, and they won't be in any order. You have to study that to get that. But there is an order, and there are 7, and we're going to read 2 of those this evening. I'll read verse 28 of John chapter 19. Watch your Bible, please. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. That's number 5 in order. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost, or he dismissed his spirit. Jesus Christ was not a victim. He gave his life. It was a voluntary offering. Oh, to you and I, it looked like they took him, but he yielded himself. He was led to Calvary. He was not drugged to Calvary like a stubborn donkey. He was not prodded to Calvary like a dumb ox. He was led like a lamb, and he was led there to get his life. The I and the it, someone has said, of Calvary. We just read verse 28, he said, I thirst. Verse 30, he said, it is finished. The I and the it of Calvary. The person and the work of the Lord Jesus. I want you to visualize in your mind a battlefield. A battlefield. Devastation on every hand. Craters, bombs, wreckage, bodies. It's a battlefield. However, if you look closely, there is one person standing. He's bruised, he's burned, he's bleeding, but he stands. And that person is the Lord Jesus. And in the battlefield of Calvary, he has won the victory for you and for me. He surfaced from the volcano of the wrath of God, and he has won the day. He has won the victory. The Lord Jesus is victorious over sin and over hell and over the grave and over death. He is the victorious one. And in this passage, he sums it all up and he says, it is finished. Now that little phrase, it is finished, appears 3 times in your Bible. You might guess it appears in the book of Genesis early on, chapter 2, verse 1. We won't turn there, but it says this. Thus the heaven and the earth were finished. God spoke this world into existence, and then when the Creator got through speaking it into existence, he simply said this. He said that the heavens and the earth are finished. In the middle of our Bibles, the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross utters these words, it is finished. When you come to the last book, the book of the Revelation, you read these words in chapter 16. The King of Kings has finished the work. Well, the most important, of course, of these 3 sayings is the middle cross. You see, what difference would it make if we had a material universe and no Savior? What difference would it make if we had a kingdom and no Savior? And so this cry from the cross is the most important statement made in the scriptures using the word, it is finished. Well, what does it mean? It is finished. Well, Jesus did not say, I am finished. He did not say, I've done my part and you do your part. He did not say, it's all over for me. The Lord Jesus said, it is finished. It is done. Actually, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I can certainly read the helps. And I am told that there's one Greek word, not three. The English equivalent, it is finished, is actually made up from one Greek word, telestai, is the word. And the word means, if I could put it this way for you, it is finished, and as a result, it's forever done. It is finished, and as a result, it is forever done. Perfection is in view here. Never has to be repeated again. This word is a word of accomplishment. It's finished. It's also a word of relief. Done the job. It's over. It's a word of satisfaction. It's done. With satisfaction in mind. It's also a fact. It's done and the work is done. It's also a word of victory. It's done. Work is over. And it is a work that was done. The spirit of the word can be seen in everyday life. It could be seen in everyday life in Bible times. A farmer went out into his field, to his flock, to his herd, and occasionally it was an absolutely perfect specimen of a goat or a sheep or an oxen or something born. And he watched it. He looked at it. And in his own language and in his own day, he looked at that and he'd say, telestai, a perfect animal, perfect specimen of that particular breed. Now the artist would use that word as well. I don't know if you can draw, if you can paint. I'm not very good at it myself, but I appreciate it, what little I know about it. Some people can paint and draw, and it's really nice. But an artist, I mean a real artist, a professional person, will get the canvas, get the paint, put up the sketch, start mixing the colors, and he works, and he works, and he works, and he works on it. And then he stands back, and he looks at it, and he says, no, it's not just right. Then it changes the colors, changes the scene, works on it again, and over and over and over again, until in the artist's eye, to touch it would be to mar it. It's done. Telestai. Cannot be changed. It's just perfect. I have a friend back in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, that took on a project to restore an old pickup truck. People do that, you know. They take old things and they restore them. First time I saw that truck, all I saw was the frame. He brought me into his garage and he said, what do you think of it? And I looked at it. Just a frame. I mean, it didn't have a bolt, didn't have a screw, didn't have anything on it. Just a solid welded frame. It was sitting there on a couple of sawhorses. And I said, well, that's real nice. You know, that's nice. Yeah. What is it? He said, well, that's the frame of my truck. I'm going to restore this truck. You know that man acid dipped every screw and every bolt and every nut? He had that frame painted with some sort of acrylic frame. You could eat breakfast off of the frame of that truck. It was so clean, so shiny. And he started putting that truck back together. And every piece that wasn't perfect, he got it made perfect. There was a time, 5 years later, he called me in there and he said, now what do you think? Well, I'll tell you, it was probably the nicest, probably better than it was the day it come off the showroom or off the line at the factory. And the truck was absolutely immaculate as far as trucks go. He had finished the work. He had done it absolutely, completely to his own perfection. Let me tell you, dear friend, there was a day when the Son of God, in the fullness of time, offered himself as the spotless Lamb of God, and he cried the victor's cry. Telestai, he said, It's done. I believe that I can prove that to you in the scriptures. Matthew records it like this. Listen, please. When Jesus had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. Mark 15 records it like this. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And Luke records it like this. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, you check the text. You check the context. That loud voice was this word, tetelestai. It is finished. We might ask ourselves then the question, what was it that was finished? What was the it that was so perfectly done and completed? Well, we say, well, we know salvation's work was done. There was a road that day from earth to heaven, and it was paved with blood. And there was an access to God through the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We say, yes, the work of salvation was completely done that day. Yes, dear friend, you're right. The work of salvation was completely done. But there were some other things that were finished that day, too. The torment was over for the Savior. The torment, the payment of all of the accumulated sins of man. Did you ever think about that? God laid on him the iniquity of us all. The suffering of the full payment and the full punishment of all of the guilty sinners. Listen, you think of a sinner, you think of a sin. You think of 1 million sinners and 1 million sins. You think of 6 billion. Oh, you got to go back through time because a lot of these people are just the living ones. What about all those who've been born and sinned and died? All of the accumulative sins of the world. And he paid full price for everyone. For the wages of sin is death. And the Lord Jesus Christ paid the wages. He paid death, if you please. He gave his life that day. The experience of all of the combined hells of all of the Christ rejectors. This is what's so foolish for sinners. This is what's so ridiculous for Christ rejector. The debt has been paid in full. All you have to do is receive it. To walk away from that would be foolish. To reject that would be ridiculous. To not get in on the offer of God's free grace tonight would seal your eternal destiny. Why wouldn't you come in? It's finished. He was smitten, stricken of God, only once. Only once the torment, only once the suffering, only once the experience of hell. You know, when God pulled the shade, when darkness fell across the land and the sun should have been in its strength and it was night. God says, you've seen what man could do to my son. You'll not see what I do to him. And from that darkness came the orphan cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? Sin did that. The devil did that. You and I separated from God. God puts it on the big screen. He says, listen, watch the middle cross. I'll show you what sin does. Sin separates you from me. And if God did not withhold his judgment from his own son, do you think you'll get away with it? Oh, no, dear friend, not tonight. But the Lord Jesus has finished the work. It is finished. Salvation's work is done. The scriptures put it like this. He has made him to be sin for us. He did that once. It's over now. He gave himself a ransom for all. He did that once. It's over now. Listen, the Revelation puts it like this. Thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God. Friend, that work is done. The suffering is over. The punishment is over. The pain is over. The sorrow is over. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Once! I was in St. Catharines, Ontario, having some meetings, and I went to fill up my car with gas. I pulled up to a gas station, got some gas, went to pay the attendant, and got talking to him about the Lord. He was just a young fellow in there. And I gave him the gospel. I told him that the Bible says we're all sinners. Do you know you're a sinner? He said, yes, sir, I know that. I said, you know, the Bible said Jesus came to this earth and paid the penalty for your sins. You know what the penalty for your sins is? Separation from God forever. But Jesus paid that for you. He completed that work for you. It's already paid. You don't have to pay that now, but you must accept the gift. When the Lord Jesus came, they crucified him for you. He did that for you. And I said, he was buried and he rose again the third day. And the Bible says that same Jesus is coming back again. And he looked at me with all sincerity and he said, do you think that they'll crucify him again when he comes back? I said, no, son, they won't do that again. They did that once. It's finished. The payment is made. Oh, he'll come back the second time for his own. He'll come back and receive us to himself, those of us who know him by grace through faith. And I'll tell you, the work of the Lord Jesus is completely finished. The master workman looked on his work and said, tetelestai, done, perfect, completed. An old Egyptian wrote these words. He said, we build like giants, we finish like jewelers. So was the work of our Lord Jesus. A gigantic work done with such precision, such detail, nothing left to chance. I mean, right in our text in John 19, you've got your Bibles there. Look in verse 24. In the middle of that verse, the scripture might be fulfilled. Look again in verse 28 at the end, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 36, these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. Verse 37, again, another scripture. You see, there was nothing left to chance. The whole thing was orchestrated by God. The Lord Jesus is controlling the affairs of the universe from the cockpit of the cross. He's not a victim, he's in control. He's making it happen. He's using the opportunity to give his life a ransom for many, and he's in control of this situation. It came a point when he was on the cross that he knew that that work was done, knew that the sacrifice was over, and he lifted his voice to heaven and as to shout the victor's shout, and he said, tetelestai, it's over. It's done. In the 12th century, there was an old saint by the name of Bede. He set to translate the Gospel of John into his own native language, into English. Very old, body racked with pain, one wondered if he would ever finish the work. The young man who wrote his dictation pleaded with him to leave it unfinished. Just don't worry about it. You're too old, you're too sick, he said. But he would not rest. Finally, the last chapter was reached. Would death delay his approach until the task was done? The young scribe said, Master, one sentence remains, only one. He read the words, and the dying man gave the English equivalents. The young man proclaimed, Master, it is finished, he said. Finished? Said the old saint. Finished? Lift me up to the window of my cell, he said. And as he lifted him up, he heard the old man say, Now glory be to God. And he passed into the presence of Christ. The work was done. He had finished it. Dear Christian, let me ask you tonight, are you fighting the good fight? Are you keeping the faith? Have you finished the course? Oh, what testimony do we have tonight? Can you say, I'm ready to be offered? I'm living for Christ. And at the end, could you say, it's over, it's finished, I'm ready, let's go to heaven. Could you say that tonight? Dear friend, you and I have an example at Calvary of a man who took every step from Bethlehem's manger to his appointed hour. Nothing would deter him. Every attack on his life before Calvary, they were too early. They had him on the cross. Surely they'd get him now. They said, break the legs, hasten death. They went to break the legs, and they were too late. The Lord Jesus gave his life. It was done. Of course, this sixth saying from the cross would have
no meaning to you at all unless you make it personal. He did it for you. Think of that. He is your substitute, your personal representative at the place called Calvary. The Sunday school teacher was trying to get the point across that Jesus took our place. And he said, you know, we'll all stand before judgment, and God will judge us. And he said to his Sunday school class, he said, now, at the judgment, if you could have anybody in the world that ever lived stand in for you at the judgment, who would you like to stand in for you? The little boy put up his hand. He said, yes. He said, George Washington. I'd like George Washington to stand in for me. He said, excuse me, sir, son. He said, George Washington, you remember he cut down the cherry tree? Oh, I remember. So he said, now, if you could have anybody to stand in for you at the judgment, who would you like to stand in? A little girl said, I'd like for you to stand in. Talking about the teacher. I'd like for you to stand in. He said, honey, I can't stand in for you. I have sins myself that I have to pay for. If anybody that ever lived, if anyone could stand in for you at the judgment and pay your judgment, who would you like for it to be? And finally, a little girl said, can it be anybody? He said, yes, honey, it can be anybody. She said, I'd like for Jesus to stand in for me. That's the point, isn't it, folks? He's the only one qualified. The spotless, perfect Lamb of God. Finished the work at Calvary. He'd like to stand in for you tonight. Would you like for him to stand in for you? Make it personal. He completed the work. Listen to the words of this well-known hymn. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place, do you get it? Condemned. He stood. Seal my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Listen, lifted up was he to die. Tetelestai was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Well, what do you think that cry meant? We know what the words mean. It done, perfect, complete, forever, finished. What did it mean to heaven that day for Jesus to offer those words? Well, that day heaven rejoiced. The Old Testament saints long waited for the day that the work of Christ would be completed. He did not fail. He went all the way. He endured the cross. He paid the price. What did it mean to hell that day? Well, to hell, those words were significant. All who listen to the folly of sin and Satan, they're doomed. The gulf is fixed. The despair of hell is complete. The prince of this world is crushed. His head is bruised. That the works of the devil are destroyed. Jesus now carries the keys of death and hell. To earth, what did that statement mean? To some they rejoice. Salvation is a free gift of God. And you've gotten in on it. And you say, thank God, it's done. The work is done. Not by works of righteousness, but by the work of the Lord Jesus. To many it's still not clear. It's an enigma to them. They're confused. They've missed the meaning of grace through faith. They don't know what it is. To others, they're just indifferent. That meaning, those words have no meaning to them. They're too busy with life and tinsels and stocks and bread and butter and jobs and hobbies. How tragic! What will it take to awake a sleeping soul on its way to hell? To a few people, that statement maybe makes them mad, antagonizes them. They hate God. They love sin. They want to be left alone. Dear friend, God's a perfect gentleman. You want to be left alone? You don't want Jesus? God will make sure you don't have him for all of eternity. To a few, it antagonizes them. What does it mean to God the Father for Jesus to say, it is finished? God the Father was absolutely satisfied with the work. He proved it by raising the Lord Jesus from the dead. A holy God forever satisfied. The substitute, the payment, the representative man at Calvary who took your place once and forever satisfied the holiness of a righteous God. What does the saying mean to you? Who are you? Where have you come from? Where are you going? What is your life all about? Do you know the presence of God? Do you know the grace of God? He'd like to turn your life into something beautiful, you know. He'd like to make something of your life. He'd like to come into your heart. He'd like to change your life. What does it mean to you, these words, "It is finished"? Do you not know? Do you not understand? Would you not appreciate them? A young preacher was preaching the gospel, and after the meeting, a gentleman came, and he said to the preacher, he said, "Preacher, what must I do to be saved?" He said. The preacher said, "Too late. Too late." The gentleman said, surely it's not too late. The meeting is just over. I mean, the people have not all gone yet. I've come up to the front. Surely it's not too late." Looking him square in the eyes, the preacher repeated, "Too late. Too late. Hundreds of years. Too late. You want to know what you must do to be saved? Too late, I tell you. Too late. The work of salvation is already completed. The Lord Jesus said so with his dying breath. It is finished." Salvation is entering into that. Dear friend, what have you got to do to be saved? You must believe, the Bible says. You must believe that you're the sinner. You must believe that he's the only Savior. You must understand that salvation is one way, one hope, one God, one mediator between God and men, the Lord Jesus. Not your way, not my way, not some religious way, God's way. There's only one way. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. What do those words mean to you tonight? As you listen on the radio tonight, wherever you are, in your car, at home, here in this chapel tonight, I want you to remember these words. It is finished. The work is done. You can enter into the benefit of that tonight by faith. You can say, "I believe, I trust, I accept. I'll do it God's way, not my way," by repenting, dear friend. And by trusting Christ, heaven will come down, flood your soul, your life can be changed, your sins will be forgiven, you'll be on your way to heaven tonight. But I can't offer you tomorrow. The ink is dried in yesterday's print, and tomorrow may never be written. This may be the last message I ever preach, it may be the last one you ever hear. Right now, wherever you are, in your own heart, agree with God all of sin. That's you. Agree with God. The Lord Jesus paid the penalty of your sin, death that separates you from God, eternal death. He paid it for you, paid in full. Your name is there. Wouldn't you want it? Just accept it. Just receive it. Just believe it. Heaven will come down and touch your whole, your soul tonight. Heaven will come down and flood your heart tonight. Heaven will come down to you tonight, and you will have the very Spirit of God living in your life. And you will start life's greatest adventure, a life of a Christian living for the Lord Jesus. Nothing can be added to the work of Christ to improve it. Anything taken away from it will mar it. All your options are on Christ tonight. Someone put it like this: God put all of his eggs into one basket, and he handed that basket to the Lord Jesus. Your hope is in Christ alone. The only invitation I know to give is to accept Christ. As a little child, just believe. Accept what God says. Repent. Turn to Christ from your sins. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ,
and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray. Father, I ask you tonight by the work of your Spirit, not by the work of some man. These people did not come here tonight to hear a man. They came here to hear a message. And Father, these dear people listening on the radio tonight in this surrounding area, I'm praying that your Spirit will work with them wherever they are, whatever they're doing, right now in their own heart, convincing them of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and convincing them that the Lord Jesus has already paid the debt, a debt we could not pay. He's already fully paid it once and for all, never to be repeated again. And tonight, Father, we're asking by your Spirit, some soul might say, yes, that's for me. The finished work at Calvary, bearing shame, scoffing rude, in my place condemned, he stood. Oh, Father, tonight we thank you for a message of good news, for hope in a world of despair. And we commit every soul into thy hands, praying that some tonight will come to Christ. In his name, amen.